Where with all shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. You're about to listen to the unadulterated word of God preached at the Anakazu Assembly, Sotom in the Safe Church. Reverend Ike is an ardent preacher of the word of God and has passion for young people. His regular messages, camps, conventions, conferences, and other Holy Spirit influence gatherings leaves the young person with an indelible print of the word of God and challenges them to live a holy life. And now, this is today's word.
This morning, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for another time to gather in your presence. We pray, oh God, that may you come in our midst and give us understanding that surpasses every understanding. And Lord, let the preaching of your word be meaningful to us. Let us understand your word and be doers of it. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, I said amen. You are welcome to Fruitful Service. And like I said, this is the main service, okay? This is the service where we actually have the first part and the first energy to move on as the day progresses, all right? And today is Seat March. The many have gone to march to salute the flag of Ghana. But we are also here to salute the flag of Jesus. Say amen. Okay, so in this month of March, I'll be sharing with you what I call the secret. The secret. The theme for this month is called the secret. The secret. There is always a secret, all right? There is something which is always hidden. There is something which is always a mystery. There's a reason somebody is doing well. Okay, if you see somebody doing well, there's always a secret behind it. Okay, and you must find out what is causing the person to do well. Okay, as young people, we want to do well all the time. We are looking for ways to do well. Okay, so there is always a secret. Okay, and when we say a secret is something like a knowledge that you don't know. Okay, it's something which has been hidden, all right? Something which has been kept from you, something which is being concealed that you don't even know about, something that is in the dark, all right? So secret is always designed to escape your mind, all right? But the moment somebody shares a secret with you, then the person has actually brought you to the light. When you don't have a certain secret, you are in the dark. But the moment that secret is revealed to you, then it makes you come to the light. Say amen. So as a Christian or as a young person trying to live a successful life, there is a secret that must be revealed to us so that your walk with God will be successful. Okay, because Sunday after Sunday, camps after camps, conferences after conferences, wherever, as you come, I think that your aim is that you must please God. Okay? And to please God, how do you please God? How do you know God? All right? Because all of us want to know God. Like now, everybody wants to know the president. Or everybody wants to know the MP. Even assemblyman, people want to know the assemblyman. All right? So there is always a secret. There is something somebody has to tell that, look, if you do this, you meet the president. If you do that, you meet the MP and all that. So it is a secret. And in our walk with God also, there is a secret. All right, Grace, do you understand? There is always a secret. And this secret is what I'm about to reveal to you. That will make your walk with God very successful. That will make your walk with God very good. Okay, because you cannot just be coming to church Sunday after Sunday without having the mind to know God. All right. And that secret I'm about to reveal to you is called the secret of quiet time. The secret of quiet time. And we're going to be on it in this month of March. All right. We are going to study how to have an effective quiet time. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because you see, you'll be hearing it. We've been talking about it. Oh, did you do your quiet time? So I did my quiet time and all that. But what is quiet time? So we are going to look at what quiet time is. We'll be looking at the advantages of having your quiet time, the importance of having your quiet time. Then we'll also look at how to have an effective quiet time. I'm using the word effective because you can have a quiet time which is not effective. But we are going to look at how to, and then tools, things you need for an effective quiet time. The moment this wisdom is revealed to you, your walk with God will be successful. Say amen. I said your walk with God will be successful. Say amen. Yeah. When we talk about quiet time, okay, you see, if you go to school, they tell you to write definition. A quiet time is a time you spend with God alone. Do you understand? A daily time that you spend with God alone. Quiet time is not the same as morning devotion. Do you understand? It is when your father, your mother, and your three siblings and your two cousins who have come to visit you, when you meet in your hall, and then your father raises a song. Yeah, that was you. Yeah, yeah. Oh, that thing, if they do, they read Bible. It is not called quiet time. That is called morning devotion. It's called family meeting or family time with God. But the time that you as an individual, Kayla, the time that you alone, there is a point that you must be alone with God. That is what I'm stressing. And that is what qualifies it to be a quiet time. Quiet time is not the time that you are quiet and you are sitting down. No. If you go to school, there's something we call silence hour. What do you do during silence hour? You sleep. At your school, silence hour, you sleep. Hey! I see. You read. It's siesta that you sleep. You don't sleep during silence hour. All right. So your time that you spend with God alone as an individual, whether you're in class 3, whether you're in class 4, if you spend a daily time with God alone, that is the secret. All right. That is the secret of doing well. You see, there is a point that God deals with individuals. And there is also a point that God deals with the crowd, everybody. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So God is interested in you coming alone. You see, the times you spend with God alone are those times that will make you fruitful. Do you understand? A lot of things that are done in public, usually they don't bring any fruit. A lot of things you see in public, things that are done in public, the type of decisions that are taken in the country that affect everybody in the country, those meetings are held behind closed doors. Yes. The things that actually rule the world, the things that bring fruitfulness in this world, in this life, they are always done behind closed doors. They are not done in public. So if you hear that, so government said that we are doing, there's a meeting that has been held out of public view. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Yes. That those times, quality times that are spent alone. Do you understand? Somebody and somebody alone. They are those things that bring fruit. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Yeah. Your father and your mother, they spend some time alone. That's how come you came. No. Holding their hands in public, eating together, those things don't produce babies. No. The things that are done that produces babies, nobody sees it. Do you understand? But everybody knows that this is what is done. The same way, if you want to be a fruitful Christian, if you want to be a Christian that will bear fruit, then you have to have a quiet time, a quality time only with God, alone with God. Are you here? Alone with God. And you must ask yourself that, will I be able to have that time alone with God? And it's possible. You can. It's very possible to have a quiet time with God alone.
So, in this service, I'm going to advocate for you to have a special time. Okay? Don't say you don't have time. Because you have time for so many things. Everybody have time for... No, don't mind. Everybody have time for so many things. So, if you can spend some time with God, do you understand? If you can spend some time with God, it will make you a good Christian. It will make you a fruitful Christian. Hallelujah. Seven secrets of quiet time. Number one. I'm coming to reveal those secrets to you. Number one, during your quiet time, you develop the most important relationship of your life. You develop the most important relationship with your in your life. You develop the most important relationship of your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look, there are relationships. This life is about relationships. This life, it is about who you relate with. Case that you understand. The person you know can change your life. If you know the president, your life will be better. If you know the assemblyman, it's possible your road will be done. So what I'm trying to say is that the most important relationship of all time is the relationship that you develop with God. It is the relationship that you have with God. The people that you have quality relationship with, they are the people you eat with. They are the people you move with. They are the people you play with. The same way, when you have a good relationship with God, and you see, that alone must be your aim, that I want to have a good relationship with God. Yeah. It's like, God should know me. You see, a lot of people say they know the president. But ask yourself, all these people who know the president, how many of them does the president know? All right. So, when we say a relationship, it means that you know me and I also know you. That's a relationship, or that's a good relationship. Do you understand? So, by having a quality time with somebody, okay, the people who are your friends, they are the people you spend a lot of time with, true of us. When you go to school, you sit by them, okay? You eat with them. These are the people you move with. You play with them. Some of them, you walk to the same area. Probably you're in the same area, or you are almost, yes, something like that. Your parents come to pick you. You sit in the same car. These people are your friends. Why? Because you spend quality time. The word is quality time. Quality time with them. And so that becomes what we call a relationship. Don't mind the adults when they say relationship. Are you in the relationship? Those boyfriends, don't mind them. They don't know how to describe their relationship well. But relationship is somebody you relate with. That's a common definition for relationship. Kela, do you understand? Somebody you relate. If you relate with your mother, you have a good relationship with your mother. You have a good relationship with your father. You have a good relationship with your friends. You have a good relationship with your siblings. Why? Because you spend quality time with them. So, during your quiet time, one of the secrets is that you develop. You see, relationships are developed though. Yes. For a relationship to be a good one, they are developed. And you see, to develop something, it's a continuous thing. It's a process. You have to be eating all the time. You sit in class one, class two. Kela, do you have a friend that is still your friend from class one? Or your class one friend, they've stopped the school. Or you have stopped their school. They stopped the school. Hey, so how come all your friends have stopped the school? They didn't pay their fees. Kela, do you have a friend from class one that you completed SHS, JHS with? Yeah. Of course, you don't forget that friend. You sit together. Do you understand? There are people, the people they sat with in class one, if they are in the same school, they still sit with the person. You eat with them. You have people you eat with at school. Even though your parents have told you that if you go to school, don't go and eat with anybody. But you still have this friend that you eat with. Grace, do you have somebody you eat with at school? Your friend, what's her name? Josephine. So Josephine is your best friend. Yeah. So what it means that you have developed a relationship. It's an important relationship with Josephine. Do you understand? Why? Because you do everything with Josephine. If Josephine says going to wee-wee, you go and wee-wee. Is that not how it happens? Yeah. If Josephine says he's going here, so let's go. Because of the relationship that you have developed with her. If she's going somewhere, you go with her. If you are going somewhere, she goes with you. Because you spend quality time with Josephine. A time alone. So Josephine knows you. You also know Josephine. Do you understand? So during your quiet time, the first thing I want you to understand is that you develop the most important relationship of your life. Having a relationship with God is the most important. It's better than relationship with the president of Ghana. It's the most important relationship ever. Look, there are some relationships where you not get anything from it. You don't get anything. If you relate with some people, the type of relationship, it's not a relationship that you can get anything out of it. But if God, you are in relationship with God, God knows you, you know God. Oh, anything you ask God, God will give you. But there are some people, when they are your friend, if you ask them things, you can't get. Because they themselves, they don't have it. So during your quiet time, you develop the most important relationship of your life. Number two, having your quiet time makes you develop the most important personal habit of all time. The most important personal habit. What is that habit? A habit of regular quiet time with your Creator. Do you understand? You develop the most important. Look, there are habits. We have good habits and we have what? Bad habits. What are some of the bad habits? Stealing is a bad habit. Okay, if you make yourself a thief, everything you steal, anything you see, not bathing, it's a bad habit. You don't bath. Do you understand? Kayla, do you understand you don't bath? Or you don't understand you don't bath? Uh-huh. You have to understand. So not bathing is a bad habit. Overeating is a bad habit. You overeat and then you use broom to sweep your stomach so that the food can relax more. It's a, or you eat and you go and trot and then you come and continue. It's a bad habit to do. You're eating and talking. It's a bad habit. Okay? Waking up early is a good habit. Most people don't wake up early. Most people, they wake up late. Waking up early, okay? Being on time. When they say 6, it's 6. When they say 4, it's 4. Okay? That is a good habit. And so, we are saying that when you have your quiet time, you develop the most important personal habit of all time. And that habit is a regular time with your Creator. Look, let me tell you, somebody created you. Somebody created you. There is a God somewhere that created you. So you develop the regular time with your Creator. Number three, during your quiet time, you draw near to God. James 4 verse 8. This is our first scripture. James 4 verse 8. You develop what? You develop, or during your quiet time, you draw near to God. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord. So there is, it should be your aim that you would draw near to God. Do you understand? James 4 verse 8, it says what? God. No, it says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your heart, ye double-minded. Draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. Wouldn't it be your priority to draw nigh to the most important person who is sitting down? Hey. And you see, people want to take pictures. If you have a picture with the president, that picture, you will never delete it. No, you never delete it. One day I was somewhere we're having an interview for some people, and then a certain girl came after the interview and all that. Grace, go and stand outside. Go and stand out today. During the interview and all that, the girl, she was failing the interview. I mean, the way things are happening, it's like she will not pass. So we're there. Then I said, look, she should stand up and go because her time is up. And so before she left, then she said that she has something to show us. And I said, what is it? Then she brought out a certificate. Then I said, what is this certificate? Then she said that this certificate, the president of the country, his signature is on it. I said, wow. And that was the first time I saw the president's signature in green pen. The president, he signs with green pen. He signs with the green pen. And if you see, a very nice signature. And I said, what does it mean? Said that she was told that. And I said, so a certain club, or they went to do something, and the president came, and the president gave them the certificate. And they said that if they go somewhere, they should show the certificate. If the moment they show the certificate, the person will understand. I said, wow. You understand? So you are very close. People want to say that I am close to the person. Oh, this person, last time, Kayla, the day you were in the hospital, the day you were going to do your surgery, when we came, then I met somebody at Kolibu, and the person, yes, I've been looking for you, my SHS mate. The person, oh, I've been looking for you. I said, why? So, I've been seeing you on Facebook, and anytime I see you, I have this feeling that Bishop Dark Edward Mills, you can send me to him. And I said, hey, me that as I'm standing here, I'm also looking forward to see Bishop Dark Edward Mills too. So I told her, sister, no. This is, but because she sees my posters, she sees my videos, and I am in UD, she kind of feel that Bishop Dark and I, we live in the same house. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You see, so people pride in that to say that, look, I know this person. But the moment you have a quiet time, you have a quality tired time, you draw near to God. That should be your aim. Drawing near to God. This is God sitting down, and the next seat is you. How important it will be? How glorious will it be if God is sitting down? That's why when they are taking picture, everybody wants to stand by the important person. Yes. Do you think that if it is Nanando's birthday and you post a picture on Facebook, you and Nanando standing? If you tell somebody that, look, I have Nanando's number. Do you understand? You see, do you know why my friend was telling me I can lead her to Bishop Dark? Because on my wedding day, she saw that Auntie Mami came to cut my cake. So she said that if Bishop Dark's wife can come and cut my cake, then it means that I have Bishop Dark's, I can call Bishop Dark right now, then you pick. So she believes that is it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So drawing nigh to God comes only when you have a personal, how will you draw nigh to Bishop Dark? When you have a personal relationship with him. Okay? You see, like sometimes I always talk about this, people go to secondary school. When you get to secondary school, you don't mind your parents again. Because they've given you money, your troubles is full. You don't even call to say good morning. The next time you are calling parents, it's like all your food is finished, all your money is finished. When you do that, as you are going, remember, sometimes you are there, you have money, just call. Oh, daddy, I'm calling to say hi. I'm calling to find out whether everything is fine in the house. So that the day you call, they will not know that you are calling because of money. Do you understand? If you don't relate with somebody, so when we see your call, it's like there's a problem. But sometimes you are just, oh, good morning. I'm saying hi, or I'm checking up on you to find out how you are doing. That's how you relate with the person. Do you understand? Do you think that if there's somebody who always checks up on you and the person needs money, and another person who doesn't check up on you and the person say you also need money, which of these people will you give it to? You give it to to the person who checks up on you all the time. So when you draw nigh to God, God also draws nigh to you. That's what you must understand this morning. That quiet time is a time that can make you draw close to God. Draw me close to you. Draw me close to you. Something must draw you closer to God. You are welcome. My boy, you are welcome. Where is mommy? No. Mommy is she. Mommy is not he. Mommy is she. So sit down. Since mommy is he, dear, sit down. But the way you are starting the sentence, your mother is he. And your father will be what she. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So drawing nigh is important. Getting closer to them. You see, and what you should understand, God is the most important person. When you draw nigh to God, when God is your friend, when you are very close to God, all your problems are solved. I'm telling you the truth. All your problems are solved. Yeah. All your problems are. I'm very sure your earthly problems are solved if the president knows you. Like this, our road, it won't be like this. Today, you saw where your father went to pass. Some lungu be. You have to go and pass Harriet's people, their bathhouse, come out from their toilets, pass behind there before we all came here today. But if the president is your friend, you can just call that. Oh, Presdo, you see this our road? It's this thing, please. And 2 weeks, it's done. 2 weeks. This can be done in 2 weeks. Okay? So you draw nigh, Kayla. You draw nigh during your quiet time. You draw, unless, of course, you don't want to draw nigh to God. But for me, it is my aim to draw near to God. It is my priority as a Christian that one day God will know me and God will say that, look, this guy, I know him. Amen. Number 4, during your quiet time, or quiet time makes you read the most important book in the world. What is the most important book? It's the Bible. The most important book in the world is the Bible. During your quiet time, what you are going to do is that you are going to read a Bible. And the Bible is the most important book. Kela, why are you not writing my point? Somebody is writing for you. Yeah. It makes you read the most important book. The most important book. I am stressing on it. There is nothing more important than reading your Bible. There is no book important in this world than the Bible. The Bible is the most important book. Every subject has its origin in the Bible. Yeah. So don't let people confuse you and tell you that your subject, our world, our people is more important. No. And I'm not saying don't read social studies or don't read RME. But at the end of the day, you should know that the Bible you are holding is life. Bible said that it is sharper than two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12. See if you can get it for me. For a long time, the screen have now come. Hebrews 4:12. He said the word of God is powerful and it is sharper. The word of God. Has it come? Or you are not looking for it? The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Check for Hebrews 4:12. Should be there. Don't mind the screen. The screen, but they are now coming to put on their screen. So, Casey, are you there? Is that what is there? Read for me. Hebrews 4:12.
Yeah. The word of God is alive and
active. The word of God is alive. The word of God is not dead. The word of God is alive. Uh-huh.
And active. Sharper than any double-edged sword.
Oh, sharper than any double-edged sword. Yes, piercing, continue.
It cuts all the way through.
It cuts all the way through.
To where soul and spirit meet.
To where the soul and the spirit meet. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than it is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. Cutting between the soul and the spirit, between joint and marrow, it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. NLT. That's the word of God. That is what you are reading. What you are reading is the sword. What you are reading is the sword. Look for 1 Peter 2:2 for me. 1 Peter 2:2. Go to 1 Peter 2:2. What you are going to read during your quiet time is a sword God is putting in your hand for the day. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation as newborn babies. The word of God is milk. The word of God is milk. As you feed on the word of God as a young person, you will grow spiritually. Yeah. Isaiah described the word of God as a hammer. Do you understand? So, during your quiet time, the most important, you see, this Bible you have, don't take it lightly at all. Don't think that it is one of the storybooks in your bags. It is the most important book of all time. The most important book. So during your quiet time, you get the chance, okay, to read the most important book. The most important book. Number 5. A quiet time is your personal school of the word. Your personal school of the word. During your quiet time, you sit and learn at the feet of the greatest teacher, who is Jesus Christ. You see, and he will teach us many things to come. When Jesus is teaching you, he will teach you many things to come. Look for John chapter 16, verse 12 and 13. Jesus has said that if he is your personal teacher, he will teach you what to come. You see, everybody wants to know what to come. That's why we all rush to prophets. Prophet will tell you what to come. Because prophets are God's representatives on earth. They speak the mind of God. John chapter 12, verse 13. Oh, I didn't say John chapter 12. I said John chapter 16, verse 12 and 13. When we are preaching, listen, those of you who do the screen. John 16. He said, there is so much more I want to tell you. But you can't bear it now. This is the Holy Spirit teaching. Let's continue. 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. A wonderful scripture. He will tell you about the future. As you are sitting down here, if you know your future, if somebody said that, look, in the next 10 years, you are going to be a lawyer. How you know your future? But you see, as you are also there, you don't know how your life is going to turn out to be. That's the mystery. But during your quiet time, okay, you will learn the most, or you have your personal school of the word. Do you understand? Your personal school of the word. You must know the scriptures. Look, in times of temptations, what is going to deliver you is not the amount of storybooks you have read. In times of temptation, what will deliver you is the amount of scriptures that you know. Look for four. Go to look for me. You see, I'm preaching, I'm quoting scriptures. Look for four. But Jesus told him, no. The scriptures say, this is Jesus quoting the scriptures. Say, no, the scripture, no, let's start from verse 1 because this one, if I say, they will not understand what I'm saying. Go to verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1. Let's start from there. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from River Jordan. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. You must be led always by the Spirit. Verse 2. Where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Look, one day, a time is coming, you are going to be tempted. A day is coming, you will be tempted. Do you understand? But in times of temptation, what is going to help you is the amount of scriptures you know. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. Verse 3. Then the devil said to him, the devil one day say something to you. Then the devil said to him, oh, I've not finished reading, I've removed it. If you are the Son of God, if You claim that you say you attend saved church. You say that you are a proper Christian. If you stand by these words, change these stones into a loaf of bread. Change it. It's a type of temptation. Well, the person is hungry. You see, and Jesus can say it. And it will turn. But Jesus answered and said, no. No, I will not do it. The fact that it's you, the Satan, it's you, Satan, who is telling me I will not do it. No. The scriptures say, do not live by bread alone. During your quiet time, you get the chance to have a personal school of the word. Let me tell you, Bible, you must know the Bible. Yes, you must know what the Bible says about everything. It will make your life better. It will make your life sweet. If you know what the Bible says, nobody can just move you up and to and fro. Why? Because see, children are the most easily deceived class of people. Ephesians 4:14. Go to Ephesians 4. Let me show them a scripture over there. You are easily deceived because many people know you don't know. And you yourself, you also know that you don't know. Ephesians 4:14, he said, then we will no longer be immature like children. Immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. Because children like new teaching. Everything new. You like, when something is new, no, you move. When something is new, no, you... New school has come to your area, you want to go there. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. NLT. Yeah. We will no longer be immature like children. If you don't know the scriptures, this is your state. You will be immature like a child. You will be immature. You see, because as you are in church and you are growing up, Y church, J church, K church, you must grow. Your knowledge of the scriptures must increase. Otherwise, how will you preach? Because the scriptures I'm mentioning to you, they are not in what I'm preaching to you. They are not part. You can come and check. They are not part of what I'm preaching to you. But why? I have learned them because I have a personal quiet time. Let it be your habit. Let it be part of your life. Just as you wake up and you brush your teeth, you should always wake up looking for your Bible, praying, having a regular and quiet time with God. You'll be better off. You'll be better off. Number six. During your quiet time, you increase in your personal knowledge of the scriptures. Yeah. You will know the scriptures. 2 Peter 1:5. We read this scripture. That was what we were treating somewhere last month. 2 Peter 1:5. Your knowledge of the scriptures will increase. You will know more scriptures. In view of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with the generous provision of moral excellence. And moral excellence with knowledge. Give me King James of the same scripture. This is NLT. Give me King James. King James used a word that I like over there. Very good word. An additional word. When you read supplement, it's so big that the people who didn't go to good school don't understand. He said, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and add to your virtue knowledge. You must always have a persistent and a consistent ability to add on to what you already know. Some of you, since you heard John 3:16, that's it. You don't know it. That's why you can't preach. That's why when we put you here to preach, you can't. Yeah, but maybe if I'm sleeping and you wake me up and you give me a microphone, I'll preach for you. Yeah. I don't need to have a book with scriptures inside. You must add on. Kezia, you must add on. Just from JHS, you are going to secondary school. Secondary school, you are going to add on. From there, you go to university, you add on. By adding on of knowledge, that's what makes you proper. So you must not always stay with what you know. You must add on. You must find out, is there something new I don't know? That's the question I always ask myself. What is new that I don't know? What must I do new? Is there something new that I'm lacking? Add to your virtue knowledge. That's what Peter is saying. Go to another 2 Peter for me. 2 Peter 3:18. 2 Peter 3:18. 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and also grow in the knowledge. You must grow. Wisdom must grow. You must grow in wisdom. You must grow in knowledge. Do you understand? Yes, after projection, you must grow. How can I do the projection better? You must grow in it. Yeah, you see, one of the dangerous things is when you learn something halfway. Very dangerous. You see, and I've seen that most of you, when you learn something, it is not like you are learning a song. You have learned the song halfway. It is even better you don't know the song at all. Songs that you know half, you don't know the rest of the words. Yeah. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. Yeah. You have learned how to project scriptures, but you have not learned how to project songs. Have knowledge. But the scripture is saying that grow also in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Grow in it. You must know, apart from knowing science and knowing maths and knowing social studies and knowing R&B and knowing French. You must also know about our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior. These are his names. He is our peace. He is the bishop of our souls. He is our Messiah, our provider, our protector. Jesus Christ is the mighty God. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is our prophet. He is our friend. He is our Lord of all. He is the name above all names. He is the only begotten Son of God. He is the light of the world. He is the Jehovah Jireh. He is the morning star. He is our hope. He is our blessed Redeemer. He is our conqueror. He is the beginning and the end. Our high priest. He is the author of our faith. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Lord of glory. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he is the bread of life. This is our God. You must know about him. Yeah. Just as you know about footballers, and you know about musicians, and you know about useless people, you must know about God. Yeah. If they mention a stupid person, you know about that person. Any idiot, you know, you say, oh, this guy is on TikTok. You know them already. Why don't you know about Jesus Christ? Through your quiet time, you get the opportunity to know that God is our cornerstone. Who is your cornerstone? What does it mean to you? If God is your Jehovah Jireh, what does it mean to you? Hallelujah. Yes, our quiet time is very important. And the last one before I close. Hi, time is up. During your quiet time, you experience the presence of God. Genesis 3 verse 8. You experience God's presence. Your presence is heaven to me. You experience God's presence. Can I take him to the back? Eh? If possible, go and walk with him so that he will not. Or go and give him to the mother. Maybe he's hungry. No. But with thee, Genesis 3, verse 8. You don't hear well. We have to give you hearing aids. Genesis 3, verse 8, not verse 18. Ima. Genesis, they say, yeah. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The cool of the day is in the morning. The cool of the day. When you have your quiet time in the morning, you will hear the voice of the Lord walking in your room. You will hear the voice of God speaking to you. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And they hid.
May you hear a voice during your quiet time in Jesus' name. You will hear a voice. You will hear a voice. There is a voice that when you hear, a lot of things will change in your life. You see, because our lives is trial and error. Eh, a lot of the things. Look, the people who are carpenters, it's not their aim to be carpenters. A lot of carpenters, they wanted to become surgeons in life. Yes. A lot of carpenters want to become a surgeon. A lot of armed robbers wanted to become medical doctors. Yes. The butchers you see who are be butchering meat that you go and buy, they wanted to become cardiothoracic surgeons. But you see, try and error. If they had heard a voice, do you understand? You will hear a voice in the cool of the day. You woke up in the morning, the cool of the day, the first thing you are looking for is jollof. Are you serious? The first thing you are looking for is to hurriedly go to school. Spending quality time with God is more important than going to school. There are people who didn't go to school, but they made it. Show me the school some people went to. The people who rule this world, they've made it. Some of them didn't go to school. But look, when you hear the voice of God, I hear a voice. You hear a voice. A voice. Romans 10, 17. Open it and see if it's a good scripture. You will hear a voice. It should be your aim. Wanting to know which voice is speaking to me. So then, faith cometh by hearing. So then, faith cometh by hearing. You will hear God speaking. As you take your Bible, as you read your Bible, as you meditate, as you pray, you will hear a voice. You will hear a voice. You will hear God speaking to you that don't do this. Today, when you go to school, don't do this. Yeah. Don't go to this place. Don't go. Don't walk with this person. You will hear a voice. You see, because if you are not led by any voice, if you are not, you just do things haphazardly in a random motion. Your life will be like a guinea pig that will be used for an experiment. But if you can hear God's voice, your life will be better. And your life will have a successful end. So today we are stopping here. Next week, God willing, we'll continue on the secret having a regular quiet time. Put your hands together for the Lord and stand to your feet. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Lord, we bless your name. We hallowed your name. We thank you for bringing us this far. We thank you for the ability to study your word, to know. As we take our Bibles to read, as we have an effective quiet time, Lord, we pray that we will hear a voice. May we develop a good relationship with you. Lord, draw us nigh to you as we draw near to you. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, clap for Jesus. Clap for Jesus. Clap for Jesus. Amen. Take your seat.
This has been the Unadulterated Word of God with Reverend Ike. God bless you for listening to this message. We believe you have been transformed. Join us again next time. Have a blessed week.